quite interesting this year that as a church and a fellowship, God is preparing us for something massive and wonderful. And over these months through this year, the word has been evangelism, reaching out, planting churches, serving church, doing it God's way, not your way. And I believe God is equipping us and preparing us as a church for the influx of what's about to happen in the very, very near future. And so we've had some wonderful teaching and some wonderful preaching and some wonderful equipping, and there is more coming up. With Marty coming in a few weeks, God is doing something with evangelism, with this fellowship, and he wants to use every one of you. And as I was seeking the Lord what to talk about today, I loved that song when we started singing, "Great is the Lord," because he would like me to talk about the Great Commission. Because he is a great commissioner. And he is a great God. And so, as I talk about the Great Commission today, if I had put a title on the sermon, it would be "Launch Out into the Deep." Launch out into the deep. And as I bring this message today, I'm preaching it to myself first, because God's been working in my heart and preparing this message, so he's done something different. But there's one thing I want to, as I get into about the first half of the sermon, there's one little word I want you to take into your heart very strongly. And it's only a three-letter word. And it's a word, all. A-double-L. I'll highlight that word as I go through. But I want you to grab that word, and I want you to say, it's mine. I own that word, all. That is me. It's mine. All. I mention it 30 times in the first part of the sermon. So I want you to grab those 30 alls and say, it's mine, Lord. It's mine. I want it. I want it. I just want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I come before you now. May the meditation on my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. And I thank you, Lord. I give you liberty of spirit to continue to move amongst your children, and that your presence would remain, and that signs, wonders, and miracles, and that you would show a demonstration of your power through the word in Jesus' name. So seeing I'm going to be talking on the Great Commission, let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 from 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority." Is it yours? Okay. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Do you all here this morning believe that we are coming into the end of the age, and it is the here and now? That this commission that Jesus has given us as a last generation, all of heaven is standing at attention, ready to activate though to those who would offer themselves available to be used of God. You know, Jesus is telling his disciples, and by telling his disciples, he is telling you and me to go. Because all authority in heaven and earth has been given. Not only the authority of Jesus, but also the authority of God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you and me. So all of heaven is available to us. The name of Jesus is the key to open all that heaven has to offer to activate Holy Spirit. Notice the four alls connected with the Great Commission. All authority, all nations, all things, all ways. Jesus always had authority, but Jesus was speaking of the authority as head of the new creation. He has completed the work of redemption. I'd like to go to Colossians chapter 1, where you're going to find out all that you have and all that you carry, because he's inside of you. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. He, Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. It's not this building. You are the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. We just celebrated that blood. That's what is given to us. Through the celebration of that blood, that's what you have. You have that same DNA now. So all things, the fullness of the Father, dwell in Jesus. Jesus has preeminence over all things. Does Jesus have preeminence in your life, in my life? That's another sermon, but I'll let the Holy Spirit work on that. The Great Commission contains three commands. They are not, do you mind going? It's not a suggestion. Jesus tells us in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those who love Jesus will prove their devotion by their obedience. The first command is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go and preach the gospel, for example, share your testimony and everything that God has done for you, and share it with others so that they may see and hear that he is real, and that he is alive, and that he is living within you, and that you would share your love to others. I think New Zealand has a lot of nationalities here now, so don't just witness to Kiwis. The second command is to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which indicates here that it is our responsibility. It's our responsibility to teach baptism as a step of obedience to the command of God's word. The second command is teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. The Great Commission goes beyond evangelism. It's not enough to make converts and leave them to fend for themselves. They must be taught and nurtured, looked after, and be taught and learn the ways of God. Hence, we do have the fivefold ministry, and we do have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you do have your own talents that God has given you. So what are you doing to carry out Jesus' last command? You know, Kim has been teaching us about evangelism. He said, I've got to put my teacher's hat on. And so he puts it on and he's teaching us about evangelism. And some of the things he mentions was, don't be all zeal and no wisdom. Be willing to be willing. Evangelism looks like you. Uniqueness, you and Holy Spirit together. So I'm just going to build a little bit more on those foundations that those this year have gone before me. I'm just going to lay and build a bit more on top of what they've done. They've laid a great foundation for me to start building on. Jesus has given us many illustrations in God's word, and one of them is in Luke 5, 1-11. And we've started off with a fishy story this morning, so we're going to end up going to a fishy story. Hallelujah. We're going to catch some fish, people. We're going to catch some fish. Hallelujah. There's a recipe here. Amen. From Luke 5, chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. And I want to bring in this whole picture is so that you'll understand everything that I want to bring where I'm coming from through the verses. So as it was, as the multitudes pressed about him, he heard the word of God. To hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Lord, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. The Great Commission. What makes up the Great Commission? Well, quite simple really. Millions and millions of small commissions. Individual commissions. And if you bring them all together, they'll make up the Master Commission. Isn't it so neat the way Jesus uses Peter's boat as a pulpit to teach the multitudes. You know, if you yield your property and your possessions to God, isn't it so wonderful how he uses them and he rewards you for them? You know, here we are with Peter offers a boat to Jesus. That's his property to be used to preach the gospel to the multitudes. Jesus preaches to the multitudes and then he says, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. And so he was obedient. He said, at your word I will go. And so they went out and lowered the nets and they pulled up a massive catch. You know, these guys are commercial fishermen. That's what they do for a living. But you see, they'd been out fishing all night. And so they got no wages that day. And they never got paid. But because they loaned a boat to Jesus, and then they listened to Jesus, they'd been out all night. They're experienced men. There's no fish out there, man. But they go out, and God fills up two boats. There's a blessing. And those who've offered their houses here as lighthouses for the church, you're using your home for the kingdom of God. Hey, expect wonderful blessings to start coming into your home. Whatever you're using, what is yours and you offer to use it for the kingdom, there is a wonderful blessing there. He will fill you to overflowing. Amen. Let's get back on track. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 3 of Luke 5, the Bible doesn't talk to us what Jesus preached to the people, but describes what was going on and what action was taking place. In verse 4, these are the words I believe Jesus is saying to us all today. Put out into the deep. Or as it says in the King James Version, launch out into the deep. Jesus is saying to Peter, and he's saying to you and to me, is to launch out into deep. What Jesus is saying in this as well is, get out of the shallow waters. Get out of the shallow life. Launch out into the deep things of God with the Great Commission in mind. Win your neighbor. Win your street, your town, your city, your country. Let's get involved with the deep things of God. You know, there are so many people who like the shallow life. But present company excluded, of course. But there are people who only like to scratch the surface and they like the easy life. They like to only come to church on Sunday, and that's good. But it takes very little faith to run their lives. It always takes something major or a catastrophe in their lives to call out to God. It took an accident to allow God to have anything to do with my life. This month, 25 years ago, on the 2nd of May, 1991, 8:30 that night, in our lounge at Foxton Beach, Karen and I gave our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for that accident, I don't think I'd be up here today. But there is one thing I do know. I would have artificial hip joints now and not my own. Sometimes faith needs a catastrophe to walk on so that Jesus can say, come with me out of that shallow life. Come out of those shallow waters. I want to take you into the deeper things of me. I've got so much to show you. I've got so much more to give you. I want to show you great and mighty things that you know not of yet. Jeremiah 33:3. He wants to show us great and mighty things that we know not of yet. This Bible is full of great and mighty things. And he's talking about you know not of yet. So what are we going to be expecting when Holy Spirit comes? Going to show us great and mighty things that we know not of yet. So, if we're going to show us great and mighty things, let's have a look at what Matthew 17:20 says. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. So if you can move mountains, why do we play with marbles? Why do we love it so much? Because it's easy. And we are comfortable with marbles. What's that doing? We are walking in God's minimum. Why live in God's minimum all the time? It's not because our brain can't calculate God's ways, or it's easier to push a marble with your finger after you've had a feed of cornflakes or something. You might look at this verse and say, but Lord, a mountain? Yes, I know it's humanly impossible for our brain to comprehend that, but God. But God, He wants to show you His great power. God wants to show you the depth of His great power. And He is saying to launch out into the deep. I want to work with you. I want to work through you. I want to show you that when you face those mountains in the deep, deep sea of my love and my authority, those mountains will turn to marbles. I don't know if some of you can remember when Mr. Muldoon was the Prime Minister here in New Zealand. And he brought in the Think Big projects for New Zealand. Everybody thought he was a bit mad, but it cost New Zealand mega dollars at the time. But we are experienced the privilege, and it's great for the needs of this country today. But I thank God that He can meet the needs of the whole world. How can we measure it up? A man who tries to meet the needs of the people of New Zealand to a God who meets the needs of the whole world and beyond. How can we measure a limitless God? Who is man that he thinks he can compare himself to God? Thank God we have a gigantic God who is bigger than all the needs of the world. Praise God, Jesus is the gigantic answer. What He did on Calvary for the whole world. And these are the days of the greater things of God. And we are that generation that is going to witness the greatest harvest of all souls that other generations have not witnessed before. Take every soul around the world. There's about 9 billion odd. Well, that's 9 billion reasons why Jesus died on the cross. Now can you see how gigantic Calvary is? Well, it's bigger than that, because that's only one aspect of the cross. Now can you see how deep the things of God are and what Jesus has done on Calvary for us all? I believe Jesus is saying, come, I'll lead you by the hand. Come and see the deep things of God. Let Him lead you, because He wants to work through you. Tell Jesus you want to have something to do with the great and mighty things of God. May the Holy Spirit shake us up. May the Holy Spirit wake us up. And let us say, Lord, I'm tired of living this shallow life. I don't want to walk in your minimum. I don't want to walk in the shallow commitment. I want to walk in your greatness. I want your maximum, Jesus. I want to walk out into the deep, deep seas with you. Let's get involved with the deep things of God. In Matthew 20:16 says, many are called, but few are chosen. I pray the Lord won't mind me paraphrasing this a wee bit. Many are called, but few make the choice. So it's a matter of choice. Do you have to have blue eyes and blonde hair? Do you have to be tall, dark, and handsome? Do you have to have a university degree with a doctor and straight A's? No. But you need your BA. You need to be born again. That's your only qualification. It can be you, yes. Just little old you in this little flock of Hope Center Live In. It's not your ability that God's after. It's your availability. And how many times have we heard that quote? It's not your ability, but it's your availability. And it just fogs past. I want you to grab that word availability today. Grab it while it's out there. I'm available. I am available. Don't let it go past. Let the Holy Spirit grab that now. Be available. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you make the choice to go into the deep things of God, God wants to use you, be it man, woman, or child. So make a choice today. I want to follow Jesus into the deep things of God, boots and all. Even if it means I got to get wet now and then, I don't mind. I want to have something to do with the great things of God. God's greatness is in His deepness. Don't sit on the banks of the river or on the fence near the river. God's miracles are in the deep. They are not in the shallows. The deep could also be spelt R-I-S-K. Yes, there are risks. But Jesus said to Peter, launch out into the deep. And Peter said, but Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now look at Peter's obedience. You know, he's an experienced fisherman. Knows the sea like the back of his hand. I haven't seen anywhere where Jesus done a lot of fishing. I know he done a lot of carpentry. Probably built a boat.
He fished and gave a meal to the disciples.
Amen. Amen. It seems strange to Peter. He had been fishing all night. He was really tired, and so was his crew. But Peter didn't even try to argue with Jesus. Peter said, lower the nets. Don't worry. See, Peter had confidence in God's word because all the fish of the sea had listened to God's voice and gone into the nets. He doesn't only lower the nets. He says, I will be with you. As he says in Isaiah 41:10, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So lower the nets. I will be with you. I will help you. See, if Jesus sees you trying, he will help you. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you. So when the nets get full, you'll have the strength to pull them up. Look at how tired Peter and his crew were when they pulled up those nets full of fish. You know, those nets were nearly bursting. So they signaled to their partners and both boats almost sank. You know, there was almost a holy catastrophe. But God was in control. And he said, lower the nets. I believe Peter, if he was up here preaching this word today, he would say, let's lower the nets. Let's get going. Let's get Levin into the net. Let's get Aotearoa, New Zealand, into the net. Let's get your neighborhood, your neighbor, your family that don't know Jesus. Let's get them into the net. Let our nets touch the bottom. We're going to bring up a fantastic catch. You know, it must look so beautiful to God when he sees people coming to the altar to give their hearts to Jesus. You know, they try to fight it, but there's such a tugging in their hearts that the tears start to flow, asking forgiveness. You know, our partners are always there to help you through those tears. You know, those tears are like a symphony orchestra in heaven. That's the music heaven rejoices over. I believe Jesus has laid out a pattern for us to work by. If you look between the lines, so, where are your sights focused? They should be on your area. If you live in Foxton, your sights should be in Foxton. If you live in Otaki, your sights should be in Otaki. If you live in Levin, your sights are in Levin. Your partners are prayer partners. Because it will be by prayer that do all the pulling. And the more that you get praying, the stronger the net will become around the place where you've got it set. So come and get along to our daily prayer meetings from 9 to 1 and strengthen the net around Levin. Strengthen it around this country. Strengthen it around your family who need to be saved. You know, it just blows me away when I see what God can do in 1 year. In 1 year, God brought our whole family to the Lord. Both my side and Karen's side, and our nephews and our nieces. In 12 months, revival through a family. You might say, oh, Uncle so-and-so, he's pretty staunch, he's pretty hard, man. I don't think you'll shift him. I used to be that Uncle so-and-so. But with positive prayer, God will move through families like wildfire. That's your mountain. Move it, and it will become a marble. Prayer is our strength. We can't do it alone. Remember, one can send 1,000 angels to flight. Two can send 10,000. So if we can get in our prayer room here and gather them and that multiplication of angels, by jingoes, we can loose a mighty part of heaven to set work for us. Let's get our streets saved, our district, our town, our nation. Can you feel the tugging? Can you feel the jerking in the net? Some of the fish don't want to come, but they're resisting. But the nets are bulging. Are you ready? Are you ready? The nets are bulging. Are you ready? Yeah, the other week there, I was up in the brother-in-law's, and he's got his radio going, and he's tuned into some of the classic hits. And I heard this song come over, and it's one of them songs that, ooh, you know, it just hit you. No, I don't want them. And it was a song. We're going to build this city. We're going to build this city on rock and roll. And I said, no, you're not. You're going to build the city on the rock of Jesus Christ, and everybody's name is going to be on the roll that lives here. That's what we're going to build our city on. Not on the world's rock and roll, but on the rock of Jesus Christ. I want to just leave you with a statement today, and I want to think you to think about it as a challenge. If we are the last generation, we're all that God's got left. What are you going to do about it? If we are the last generation, we're all God has got left. What are you going to do about it? Hallelujah. I'll leave that between you and Holy Spirit. But he's made a suggestion. If God's been touching your heart today, you know, we want to be a church that releases. Hallelujah. And what is confessed before man is confessed before the Father. And if you feel that you want to be a part of this great commission, if you want to get into these deep things of God, and you want to go into places with God that you never knew before and do things and be involved in this great commission, are you prepared to come up and stand here and say, here I am, Lord, wholly available unto you? And we as a team of a leadership here, and Pastor Tony's okayed this, we want to pray over you and release you into the harvest, that you can say that you are sent. And if you want to think about it a bit more, that's okay. And you want to go home and pray about it, that's okay. And if you decide at home you want to say yes, be released and sent. Today, you have authority. Today, you have everything the Word of God says you have. And He wants you to walk in the fullness of everything that He has. Walk in the maximum that Jesus wants for you. Walk in everything that this Bible says you can have. It's all yours. If you need courage, ask for it. If you need faith, ask for it. He's a good God. He'll give it to you. So if you want to come up here and make that decision before the Father and say, "Here I am, Lord. We want to pray with you." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Kevin and Kim, could you come up and help pray for these people, please? And also, Jeff, could you come up and help pray, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just release them into the commission of God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.